Hello and welcome to another episode of Mean Old World. And this episode won't have guests because this is just me going on about, well, everything that I've been experiencing over the last week or so. And I just thought it would be nice to have one episode a week where I can catch up and talk about all the things that are mostly bothering me because there is a lot going on almost every day and a lot of things that I pick up on. So I just thought I'd start this new podcast episode every week. So just because I didn't really have any other creative term for it, you know what? We'll just call it Tuesday Morning Podcast with Meenal. So I hope you enjoy this episode and we'll see how it goes. So why am I doing this? Why am I doing this episode? Well, I feel like a lot of you get in touch with me on Instagram and on Twitter, and I feel like I'm answering all your questions, but with individual messages all the time. And I think if I did something like this, it'd be a lot easier to connect with all of you on a wider base. So this morning I woke up feeling quite optimistic, and I'm sitting down in my little office room right now and I'm looking out and the sky is just so beautiful. The sun is setting and the sky is wearing like a pink color, and you can just sort of see the sun setting down. It's really beautiful. I never thought I had this view from my little make-do office that I have at home. So I just thought I'd share that with you, that sometimes you just have to appreciate the little things in front of you and just take a moment to absorb it all in. And now that you're listening to this, just have a look around to see what's around you, because it's something that catches your eye. Just appreciate it, because I feel like we haven't had a chance to celebrate happy moments and to celebrate moments of comfort with our loved ones and with the things that we always enjoy doing. Last week was pretty shit, man. Like, I'm gonna be really honest with you. I was dealing with a baby who had a fever for the first time, and I didn't know what to do. I mean, just imagine, right? Like, I've dealt with so many patients who've had so many things that's been worse than a fever. I mean, I've dealt with cancer patients. I've dealt with dying patients to their very last breath. And you think that once you've gone through something like that, this would be, you know, a little bit easy. But it really wasn't. It was so stressful. And in that kind of situation, right, you think that you would do the most obvious thing, which is give medicine. And that was the last thing I did. The very last thing I did was give Radhika medicine. Poor girl. You just get so lost in trying to make sure that they're comfortable and trying to make sure that you can understand what's going on. I just thought she was being grumpy, to be honest. And when you spend so much time with someone, it's so difficult to actually, you know, differentiate different emotions. I mean, if you spend time with your husband all day or your parents all day, the line between being angry and tired, or the line between being sad and upset, you know, these emotions which kind of have an overlap, it's very difficult to define it and to figure out what was actually going on. Radhika had a vaccination, and I thought that she'd, you know, one of the side effects is getting a fever. But I think some part of me, as a mother, you think that your kid is invincible, that your child will never experience anything like that. But lo and behold, she got a fever, and I spent like 4 nights just staying up, making sure she was comfortable. Because I know that if she's not comfortable at nighttime, the whole day is just going to go, well, down the drain, really. So I was caring for her almost every minute and every second of the day. And the little amount of respite that I had, I tried to make the most of it. But it was exhausting. It was really, really tiring. I thought I'd seen it all, you know, giving birth and then figuring out breastfeeding, figuring out sleeping patterns. I was like, yeah, this should be okay. But nah, it's not. It's not like that. And you know, they say parenting has the biggest highs and the biggest lows. And it's so true, man. Like, I can remember my really low points. And I think I've spoken about this before. I can remember the points at home where I was sat down crying after I was breastfeeding or during breastfeeding because it was so tough. And the happy times I also distinctively remember. And I think this is just the journey of parenthood. I thought being a doctor would, you know, like the introduction of starting work as a junior doctor in a new hospital, in a new department, a new environment, I thought that would make parenting a bit easier. But It really didn't. So if anyone out there is planning to have children, let me just tell you that this whole experience is so unique and so different to anything else that you've experienced in your life. And I've been very lucky to have family around who I can contact and communicate. Like, I can't imagine not having WhatsApp. I can't imagine not having the internet to ask my mom what to do or to speak to my friends and other parents who've gone through something like this. Honestly, I'm really, really grateful for that, because I think I would be pulling my hair out. But anyway, Radhika, poor girl, had a bit of a temperature, and I just told myself that I'd catch up on sleep somehow. By hook or crook, I'll figure it out. You know, like, Nishant will have a couple of hours where he's at home and I'll use that to sleep. But guess what? She started teething. So that meant that, again, I was in a situation that I had no clue about. And remember, you know, it's not that I didn't know what to do. That's fine. I can figure it out. But Radhika didn't know what to do. When you have an infant who's got no clue what's going on and is completely confused and probably very new to the idea of pain and discomfort as well, man, it's tough. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to give. And you look at every single remedy on the internet. And I made this decision very early on in parenthood, and that was that I'm going to try and stay away from online solutions and online remedies. I mean, from time to time, I'll have a look, because as a doctor, of course, I have that curiosity. But I think the easiest thing for me is just to speak to my mom, because I think I'll lose my sanity, to be honest. And I think I'd actually go bankrupt on Amazon, because it's so tempting to just buy lots of different things because you're so desperate. And I think that's what they do, you know? I think that's what these businesses do. They find a weak point in parenthood, and they find something that makes mothers anxious. They find something that would make parents worry, and then they use that to their advantage. I mean, look at Calpol, for example, right? Like, Calpol is, for those who don't know, it's basically paracetamol in liquid form. It's a liquid suspension for children, but it almost feels like mothers can't live without, especially teething babies. You know, everyone's like, yeah, just give Calpol. And you're like, we are so dependent on these medicines. We're so dependent on these things that have been marketed to us as the solution, the one and only solution. I'm not saying it doesn't work. I mean, it worked wonders for Radhika. I'm very grateful for it. It worked really, really well. But to look at the business models of these companies and to see how they've used this weak point in mothers and in fathers to create a product that has made billions and billions of dollars. And I think it's really smart. So kudos to those who figured out what was wrong and used Calpol as a marketing tool, because honestly, Calpol is in every single household, and we gave her Calpol, guilty, and it worked. And, you know, she was much more calm and much more settled. But me, on the other hand, again, I didn't get any sleep. But there was one turning point on Sunday morning, and I don't know what it was. So just imagine, I had a baby with a fever, and then if you look at it as a Venn diagram, overlapping into that, she started teething as well. So she wasn't feeding properly. She did not want to sit in my lap and feed. She didn't want to take the bottle either. The only way she'd accept any form of milk was lying down, which meant that I had to spend basically my afternoons lying down in bed. I know that sounds pretty good for some people, but it's so frustrating. It's so comfortable, especially for someone like me who needs to be moving around, who needs to be on the go and active. I just couldn't do it. I got so fed up, and I tried. I really forced her to just sit on my lap like she always does, but it almost felt like she regressed. It almost felt like she was a newborn baby again. It's like she was looking at me like, what is this? What are you trying to make me do? But I just kept telling myself it was a phase, and I hoped that it would go. And luckily, she's much more settled and much happier now. And I feel like she's a completely different baby. I think the last week she's turned this corner of understanding the world around her and understanding the patterns around her and understanding who mummy is and who daddy is. And now that she can see faces properly, now that her vision is much clearer and she can focus better, the world has become this really bright and colorful place. When I say the world, I mean basically our house, because obviously she hasn't left the house because of COVID. So things have been much, much better. But you know, the last couple of weeks have been tough, and it's taken a toll on me. And it it's, I think, these really tough moments, in these moments when you really struggle to find solutions, find answer, you go back. I don't know if anybody else does this, right? Do you go back to the other times where you felt quite shit and thought, well, what did I really do? And I've done that. I've gone back to my times in Czech Republic. I've gone back to the times, well, I say Czech Republic, but really those were the times that were really bad for me. I don't think anything prior to that was difficult to deal with because I was quite comfortable at home. But those 6 years in Prague, I went through so much. And I just wish I'd written it down. I just wish I'd written down what worked. I had written a few things down and that mainly revolve around exercise. But there's little like evidence for me to go back to and say, okay, I did this and this worked. And this is when I struggle the most because it's like, well, what do I do? You know, do I just take 5 deep breaths? Do I take 10 deep breaths? Do I meditate? Do I download the Headspace app? I mean, what do I do? Because there's so many options available. And that's the thing, right? Like trying to figure out what works for you. Not only that, but trying to figure out what works for you in a specific situation. I know that when I get angry at someone or when I get pissed off, something specific works. I know that if I get overworked, overwhelmed, something else works. And I think figuring out these patterns over the last year has been the biggest character breakthrough, I'd say. It's been the biggest change in me. And this is why working with Juggy on personal training and lifestyle and mental health has been so, so important for me, because I never really had the courage to implore my own feelings. And because I never did that, I felt like I was always in a rut. I felt like I was always struggling to figure out what was the next solution rather than actually just get on with it. Because sometimes you just got to ride the wave. You just have to ride the wave because the days will pass. And Radhika has taught me a lot in the last 6 months, something that I don't think life would have taught me, because as I said, I've worked as a doctor, I've worked in acute settings, but what this four-month doll has taught me, I mean, I don't think she realizes. And then I add on top of all of that, not being able to see my parents. And I was talking to Nishant a few days ago, and I was telling him how much I wanted to go back to California, because there's so much openness. I feel like there's so much freedom when you're walking down the roads of California. The roads are so much wider. There's so much more space. And you know, like in London, when you go from one tube stop to the next, most of them are distances that you can walk. They're very manageable. But in California, they're like miles apart. Like you need to get an Uber to go from one tube stop to the other. And just that space is so freeing and so liberating. And I told Nishan, like, I really want to go back to California, because it gave me a new perspective and it allowed me to, I think, enjoy life a bit better. I feel like this whole idea of a rat race and this whole, like, you know, you got to wake up in the morning, you got to go to work, you got to come back, and you're going to be working 14 hours a day. Like, that exists in California. But the only difference is that it's sunny. And I think that makes a huge difference. I think having the sun makes a huge, huge difference. So I was just telling Nishan that if we went to California now, the fun we would have with a newborn, well, not, I say, keep saying newborn, but she's not newborn anymore. Having an infant with us, it'd be so much fun. Be so much fun. And my brother and his wife have been building a house there as well. And to go down there and visit them would be absolutely incredible. And I know that I've spoken about my relationship with my brother in the past. And let's just say things have improved drastically and things have changed almost to the point where it almost feels like nothing's happened. My brother and I are very, very close. And I think lockdown gave him a chance, gave me a chance to come to that realization that all we have really is each other at the end of the day. And, you know, when I spoke to Jasvinder last week, I think it's episode 29, that was, when she said that when she contacted her family, they said they didn't want to have anything to do with it. She contacted them because she just wanted to see how they were doing during COVID, because she had heard some of her siblings were quite unwell, but they completely shut her down and said, look, don't want to have anything to do with you. But then to see that and then to know that my brother's always going to be there for me, you know, no matter what happens, I think that was really heartwarming. I think having a baby makes everybody sort of melt a bit and change. And I feel very homesick, because I feel like everyone's missing Radhika's development, you know. She's growing every single day and she's changing. And I was sat in the kitchen the other day, and I was choking up, you know. I was getting quite emotional because all the times that I spent with my parents, all the times I spent with my brother, I never thought I'd never get that back. I never thought that would be something I'd miss. I really took it for granted. I really took it for granted, and I wish I hadn't. But one thing about the lockdown obviously has meant that I've learned to find new ways of satisfying my communication needs. And I think I'm laughing because I'm just like looking at my Twitter feed right now, and Twitter has been so much fun. I think today, Matt Hancock, our health secretary, he was on Sky News, and he mentioned, and the funny thing about these people, man, like these politicians, they come out and they have like the smirk on their face as if nothing's wrong, as if we are not supposed to find out what they've done wrong. Like, they think that they can get away with it, and they think they've been really smug about it. And you're just like, you are so dumb. Like, you just don't understand that we have brains as well, and we can figure out everything that you're doing wrong, and we can actually conclude that there is corruption going on even in the UK. So I'm just opening up my Twitter page now. So Kay Burley, she's a presenter on Sky News. She had Matt Hancock on this morning, and she mentioned that £44,000 was spent on takeaway food for his staff during the pandemic. £44,000. I mean, do you understand how much money that is for food during a pandemic? I paid £5 for a jacket potato, and I had to pay for my lunch every single day when we were actually saving lives. These guys were cocking everything up, and they were getting free food on taxpayers' money. And he couldn't answer her question when he was asked about, well, you paid £44,000 on food for your staff, but you're not willing to feed hungry children over Christmas. And the way these politicians like manage to swerve questions and like change the topic and do it with such confidence, man, that means that that just shows that they don't have a heart. That just shows that they just don't give a shit. Like, I mean, if someone asked me why I was starving children, I'd actually like feel something. I'd be like, oh crap, like that's not right. But these guys, it just doesn't seem like they care. They're just going out there, coming out on the news every morning as if nothing is wrong. I really don't know how they go to bed. I really don't know how they sleep with themselves. And especially considering that a lot of them have children of their own. I just wonder, will their kids grow up one day and say, I'm proud of you, Dad, or I'm proud of you, Mom, for what you did? Or will they just be raised in this bubble and this echo chamber? And this is one thing I've realized as well about Twitter and Instagram and everything that we have on the internet, is that what you follow, the platforms and the people you follow, becomes an echo chamber. So you don't necessarily look out for new information. You're not necessarily going to learn more things. You're not necessarily going to explore different sides to a story and different angles to a story unless you follow people who have different viewpoints, unless you follow people who have different train of thought. Because if not, you're following people who have the same ideas as you and think the same things like you. So you're just in an echo chamber and you're just all saying the same thing and banging your head on the same wall. So I think that's something that I realize as well. And this is why I've done a full detox on Instagram and Twitter and said, look, I'm not going to follow the people who I think are not adding any value to my knowledge and my development. And trust me, I've posted stuff on Instagram which have been controversial, and on Twitter, and I have made mistakes. And because I follow people who have different viewpoints to me, and they've come to me with constructive criticism, it's made me think. And I think that's so important, you know, that to accept this criticism and also understand that your opinion isn't everything. And I've been guilty of that. I'm going to put my hands up. I've been very guilty of that. And to be able to sort of zoom out of that lens and have a bird's eye view of everything is not easy, but it's something I'm trying to be better at. And just speaking of social media, there are lots of people now who just want to be Instagram doctors. And like, it's kind of frustrating because you sit there and you think, well, you want to have like all these followers on Instagram. You want to like give all this advice and opinions on how to be a doctor and show off like your latest scrubs and your latest stethoscope and show how hard you've been working on night shifts and doing these on calls. But then when it comes to like actually speaking up for your colleagues or raising your voice at work to protect other people, and I'm not talking about just the pandemic, I'm not just saying that all doctors should have fought against PPE or fought against our system or our government. That's not what I'm saying, because not everybody has to be as vocal as my husband and I were, or a lot of other people have been. But I'm just saying like the general stuff, you know, like when you're in a hospital setting and doctors are not having your back and they're not producing that kind of environment and that kind of teamwork. But then they're on Instagram and they're just like, oh, hey, I'm a doctor. And like, I just want to get lots of followers because I'm really interested in women's health. Like, that's literally it for most people. And everyone just thinks like being an Instagram doctor is like the be all end all, when there's not really much depth to it, unless you're really helping people. And that's kind of like pissing me off a little bit, to be honest. I thought I'd just say it. I mean, I might lose some listeners after saying this, but oh well. As I said, this is who I am and this is what I'm going to talk about, because this is my podcast and I can say whatever I want. So this Friday, we may not have a guest. And I just want to clarify as well, not every episode will have a guest, because I did that with AC Outsiders and I tried to get a guest on every week. But you know what? It's tough. It's really, really difficult because we're juggling different schedules and my schedule will always change with the baby. And I have to work around the guest schedule. And with lockdown and everything, it's tough. So unless I get a manager or some sort of production team, I am putting it out there that if anybody wants to be my manager, you're more than welcome. you know, then there's no other way around it. So this Friday may not have a guest, but you know what? The show still goes on. And I love doing this. I love speaking to you guys. And I love talking to myself in my office room, because I feel like it's my half an hour and I can get away from my life and, well, my little baby from time to time. So I hope you enjoy this. I mean, I didn't script any of this. I didn't really know where the last 20 minutes or so have gone. So this is a little snippet of how I'm feeling, what I'm doing, what I'm up to. And I'm sure there's a lot more of this to come. So I'll see you all on Friday. Have a lovely week ahead. Be productive, be yourself, be successful. And I love you all.